Strike that left seven World Central Kitchen workers dead. Here's ABC's Tom Rivers.
In the wake of the deaths, the food charity has suspended operations in the region. Israel's top military spokesman, Daniel Hagari.
We will get to the bottom of this and we will share our findings transparently.
Among the aid workers killed, an American and an Australian. Prime Minister Albanese demanding
full accountability for this, because this is a tragedy that should never have occurred.
Tom Rivers, ABC News at the Foreign Desk.
A 12-year-old boy opening fire on his classmates in southern Finland. One of them was killed, two others wounded. The suspect arrested outside Helsinki after the school shooting. Donald Trump has posted the $175 million bond needed to appeal his New York civil fraud case. This is ABC News.
From the SSM Health News Center, this is Max News with Jim Finn.
The Portage Fire Department is looking at a potential solution to an immense staffing shortage in emergency medical services. Thanks to a recent referendum in the community and a grant from the state, the department has purchased two new ambulances to begin offering its own medical transport services in January of next year. For a long time, the community has had its ambulance service provided by the local hospital, but that agreement is now nearing its end. According to the Portage Fire Chief, the state's EMS staffing shortage may hinder the transition. To avoid any problems in the transitions of service, the department is starting its staffing plans now. Significant costs involved with training new emergency medical technicians also compounds the staffing shortage. For Max FM News, I'm Jim Finn.
We have some rain and snow on the way today into tonight. A slushy 2 to 3 inches of accumulation is possible by the time it all winds down into Wednesday. Some places could get a little more. Today, 35. Tonight, becoming windy. 32. Tomorrow, cloudy, windy with some snow and blowing snow. Our high, 39. If you are looking for a great place to live, stay, shop, and play, well, it's easy to get to Worthington, Minnesota. You should check out Worthington. It's worth a look. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 33.
90s, and more.
Max FM.
The Whispers and Rocksteady, maximum hits of the 80s, 90s, and more, 99.7 Max FM. It is about 10 minutes after 8 now. And Finn, you know, one of the things that we've talked about here on the morning show is the fact that dating has changed so much, especially during COVID and since the invention of all of these different online video chatting platforms and all of that kind of stuff. I'm just glad that I don't have to do it anytime soon. But imagine the kids asking what your first date date was like, and you say, well, I ordered DoorDash to your mom's place, but I wasn't there. This is actually going to become a reality at some point in time. Because a new poll by the dating app Wingman found that most first dates over video are now more popular than meeting up in person. And I think that completely makes sense for where we're at in the world and how people are introducing themselves to one another. At least this is good for people under the age of 30, which also makes a whole lot of sense, right? So you've got singles between the ages of 18 and 27 who were asked if their ideal first date would include getting together or just chatting on FaceTime or Zoom. 65% chose the virtual option. Now, here are three main reasons for that, okay? One, it's more efficient, and for younger people, it's not weird at all. In fact, Wingman's founder says, quote, users in that younger age group just absolutely don't bat an eye at it. You can have a quick chat and see if there's even a first spark. Number two, it's cheaper than a real date, which makes sense because obviously DoorDash, you're only ordering for one, right? You don't have to pay for somebody else's meal. Yeah. Yeah, you don't have to drive anywhere. You don't have to get an Uber. You're not, you know, leaving the house kind of thing. Now, one of you still might buy dinner for the other and have it delivered, but that still may be cheaper than actually going out to a restaurant, especially because you're not including probably the drinks in that and maybe some of the appetizers and all of that. So that makes sense. And number three on the list is a lot of young people feel intimidated face-to-face now. They feel more like themselves on Zoom or FaceTime. And if things get awkward, you don't have to make small talk until the bill comes. You just simply say, you know, it was nice getting to know you, and then you hang up kind of thing. Now, it's interesting because I watch my two boys date right now, and I use the terms date loosely. But most of what they do or their first connections are usually online. Now, Max has met a couple of people face-to-face, but then their interactions after that first face-to-face meeting have all been online until they've talked for quite a few times or for quite a length of time, and then they choose to meet in person. Dexter's current significant other, who's just a sweet, sweet thing. Oh, gosh, I love her. She's so awesome. Anyway, they've never met, and they have these incredible conversations online. Both of them deal with anxiety, and they both actually laugh about it, that had they had to meet at some point in person before they met online, they probably wouldn't be talking at all.
Sure.
So yeah. I get that portion of it too. But it is interesting how times have changed. I mean, do you remember the emotions that went along with that first date and all the nervousness and, will they like me? Won't they like me? Or maybe you were being forced to go because a friend wanted you to go and it was a setup kind of thing. But there was a lot that went into that very first date on a first meeting so many years ago before we had all of this technology.
Yeah, there were a few anxieties and a lot of nervousness and a lot of preparation when it worked out it was great.
Awesome.
When it didn't work out
we've all had those first bad first dates, right? Like, yikes, the one that you just don't even want to talk about afterwards, and you're kind of like, oh, let's not even go into this, let's just not do it. Did you ever have one so bad that you wouldn't even tell people about it? Like, you just didn't even want to talk about it, a first date or just a date in general, that you were just like, no, we're not even getting into
not
it. It's not really. Even worth it.
I was actually kind of lucky that
way.
And I was fortunate in the way that I never had one of those dates that was set up by a friend. Like,
I had a lot of those.
Did you? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I was lucky that way.
It was excruciating. My deal is all throughout high school, I've mentioned it, he was an absolutely abysmal human being. And as time went on, and even as we weren't together anymore, more things about how abysmal and awful he was started coming out, right? And so I kind of dodged a bullet on that one kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of how I felt about it. But my friends were like, oh, no, you really need to start start dating, got to get out there again. Do I really have to do this again? I don't know. It wasn't that I wasn't ready, but I'd gone through a lot in this particular relationship for many years. And there was just a part of me that just couldn't do it. I was going to school. I was working basically full time, and they insisted that I needed to get out there and I needed to date. And so, oh my gosh, the setups ensued. And you know, there were a couple of them where I looked at them and I was like, have you ever even talked to me? Like, exactly. What in the world made you think that this would be a compatible, good match of two human beings? Not that there was anything wrong with them. They were probably perfectly wonderful individuals, just not anybody that I would have seen myself dating, or I was pretty sure I wasn't somebody they would see themselves dating. I mean, that happens, right? And so it wasn't anybody's fault, but I was just like, have you ever met me? Have you ever sat down and actually had a conversation with me that you think this is how it should have gone? So I had a few of those in my college days as well.
That's where I would say the virtual thing that would work out, because yes, at least it's a good way. It's a, I don't know if I can go so far as to say a completely safe way, but it is safer.
It's a lot safer. It's a less of a waste of time, too, right?
And it's a good way to just kind of chat and, yes, you know, kind of figure out whether or not you're compatible.
Yes.
I mean, you met Corey at work, you
we
know?
We did, yes.
I met my wife doing theater. So, mm-hmm, I mean, it was a gradual thing. It was like getting to know you, getting,
yes,
to, you
exactly
know, I mean, it's completely different where if you're set up on a date, you're going into that thing cold.
Oh, it was awful.
You know, I mean, you can, if you're around someone and you're working with them, or you're around them in some capacity,
yes,
you already have it figured out whether,
right,
or not this is going to be a good match or not.
Right. And when I met my husband and we first started working together, I was pretty sure that that was nobody I was ever even going to talk to outside of work. I mean, I'll just be honest. And we tell the story laughing about it now, because we hated each other. We absolutely disliked each other. He came in at a time when I wasn't around because my health was not great. And so my doctors had sent me to the Mayo Clinic. It was the summer between my sophomore and junior year of college. And so my health wasn't great. They were trying to get a handle on what was going on with my endometriosis, because at the time it was kind of a relatively new thing that people didn't really, doctors didn't even know a whole lot about. And so they sent me up there to get some answers. And so I basically was gone throughout the entire summer when he came into the radio station. And I was just kind of this figment of his imagination, where he was told, oh, no, you can't do that. Only she can do that, because I had an all request show. Otherwise, you weren't allowed to spike in music and play requests during the day. And
those shows were great, weren't they?
I know. They were so much fun. And I had an all-request show. So it got to the point where when I was back, he would actually have to call my show in order to hear songs. And then he didn't really think I'm pretty sure. Now, I don't know if he would ever admit this, but I'm pretty sure he didn't think I actually knew what I was doing as far as radio. I think he just thought it was like a thing that I was doing through college. And it kind of started out that way, right? And then all of a sudden, I had this all request show. We're literally on, especially Friday nights, you know, we had 100,000 watts. So we were covering most of South Dakota at that point, because flat land, FM signal goes a long way in really flat ground. We were basically covering most of the state of South Dakota and into the Nebraska border because of where our tower was, and into a little portion of Minnesota as well. So it wasn't unheard of on a Friday night for me to get 150 to 200 requests. I mean, it was ridiculous. Yeah. And so he started hanging around the station and helping me filter those calls and answering them, because obviously I couldn't get to all of them myself. And so then he kind of saw that I kind of knew what I was doing. And then our relationship literally started by us hanging out at work and then going to grab lots and lots of dinners together. And that was gradually how it built. And it's funny, because about the time we had everybody convinced that we weren't dating, we actually started dating. So it was this very organic relationship that started as a really great friendship and then built from there. So, yeah, I don't know. But, yeah, don't let your friends set you up.
No.
Don't let your friends set you up. You got to to really trust them. And I did trust my friends until they set me up. And then I was like, oh, you're never being involved in anything I do ever again. What is happening here? So
it's interesting when somebody tries to play Cupid and they have this idea in their head.
Yeah.
Oh, Sally has to meet Joe because Joe is, they just seem so much alike.
Yes.
Wrong, you know? Yeah. And I mean, even in a case with you and your husband, where it kind of seemed like at the very beginning, it was a case of opposites attract
yes.
kind of thing. Yeah. And as far as like the whole dating scene goes, this is where I'm kind of surprised myself, which is normally if you were to tell me this story that you just read today about how the dating scene has changed and mm-hmm. they're happy with doing the virtual thing, I would have rolled my eyes. But no, I think this is actually a really good idea for
yeah.
them to do this because, again, it's safer. You know, yeah. we'll say that. And it's a good way to just have a chat with somebody. Yeah. You don't have to go through all that, oh, man, do
right?
I look okay? What am
yes.
I going to do about that zit? Oh,
right?
man, I got to, you know, it's like, yeah, going into it, you're just, it's nerve-wracking.
Right.
And
yeah,
so this
absolutely.
Is kind of a good way to just go in lightly, just have a little chat. I mean, you still probably have some of the same nerves.
Right.
You probably are still a little anxious, but you know, you can check out anytime. You don't
yes.
you're not stuck.
There's not
at
as
a
much
restaurant
pressure.
Or a coffee shop,
right.
you know, where there's an awkward I guess I have to go now because I have to take the dog out or you know what I mean? So I
yep.
mean I think it's actually a good idea. That younger generation, they might kind of know
it.
What they're doing.
Yeah, maybe
yeah.
they've got it figured yeah. out a little bit. I yeah. just think it's, you know, and especially for how many younger, how many people in the younger generation and older generation too, because I'm assuming if you're a little bit older, this is a great way to meet somebody if you're getting back into the dating game for some reason. You know, there's so many people that deal with anxiety right now too, and it just takes the pressure way down. It just takes
yeah.
so much of that pressure off. So if you're dating by you know, starting a relationship online, it is not weird. You are totally in the norm is what it is. I you know, things have changed so much. It's so weird. And I you know, you and I talk about the fact that we're old. We don't understand how some of this newfangled technology works.
Yeah.
But, you know, I love some of the things that have come out of the last few years. You know, COVID basically taught us there's a different way to do things. If that was one of the only good things we got out of it, because let's face it, it was pretty abysmal all the way through.
Mm.
But if at least we got one thing out of it, it taught us that it's okay to do things in a different way. And between school and work and now dating, I think those are things that we've learned. And, you know, it's funny because I had a really good friend. Her daughter was in her mid-20s when COVID started. And she was stuck in her city, couldn't come home, wasn't working. Eventually, she was able to start back up working from home. So, you know, she wasn't worried that way. But she was in this one bedroom apartment in a new city practically because she just graduated from college a few months before by herself. And she didn't really know anybody. And so she went out, and which I think a lot of people did, to purposely meet somebody online to at least have conversations with. And I remember her very first, we'll call it date, because she wasn't really looking to date. She just wanted somebody who would, you know, check in with her online every now and then. Their very first date, he had a bunch of food delivered from his favorite restaurant. And so he started with the appetizer, the salad, the main course, and he ordered everything, had it delivered to her door. And then their first date was going through, and then she did the same thing for him. So from her favorite restaurant, she had the appetizer, the salad, the main course, the dessert,
yeah.
and then they went through and they taste tested all these foods together. That was their first official date. And they're still dating this many years after COVID, after that first
sure.
initial meeting online.
Uh-huh.
So, but that was uh-huh. how the relationship started, because they wanted to be safe. They wanted to protect one another, their families as well. So their entire basically first year of getting to know each other and dating was through exactly what we're talking about right now. And they've been going strong ever since. So kudos to
that
them.
Sounds a little bit more romantic than DoorDash. You know, that
well,
for
it was
first
essentially
date,
but DoorDash that brought
okay.
it. But, you know, they at least put some forethought into it. And, you know, we're like, okay,
sure.
you order from your favorite
sampling
restaurant.
Food. food.
Yeah. So that's how they did it. So.
And I guess that's probably why those speed dating things. I've never
those
done
are
them.
Weird.
But
it, those are weird.
But I guess
what can you find out about somebody though in like 30 seconds?
Exactly. But I guess that kind of alleviates some of the pressure of having to spend so much time in a given spot with one person. You know, I mean, but we're talking about, even if circumstances were different for you or for me, right?
Yep.
Okay. I don't have the goods to do the dating thing again. I don't.
I'm just going to become the crazy cat lady because it's going to be too hard.
And I'll be the grumpy old get off my lawn guy.
It's
that
fine.
Just
that's, how I would go down in this world because it just seems hard. And you really want me to put something on that's not sweatpants right now?
No,
are you kidding me?
No.
Corey's used to the sweatpants. He's good with it. As long as I don't wear them on a date night, then we're good to go.
That's how you know it's true love, right?
I mean, I think he'd be shocked if he walked in someday and I was wearing something other than sweatpants when I'd been home with the dog
formal
all day.
Gown.
That's right. That's right. Even jeans would be formal in this household, quite honestly. He would be absolutely shocked. The one thing that I do find weird, though, with these online dates is eating on camera while somebody else watches you. Like, that feels a little strange because you're just staring at the other person. Eating.
Totally.
You know, at least in a restaurant, you can look around. There's other things to see. But now you're just like directly staring at this person while they're trying to eat. And if somebody sent me chopsticks, that date would end before it even started because they'd see me try to use them.
Oh, or if you're eating ribs, forget it.
Yes.
There's no graceful way about
watermelon with the seeds or even corn on the cob.
You're picking your teeth.
It's the only part that kind of gets me. You're going to just sit and watch me eat now. Okay, that's uncomfortable.
romance.
Right? I remember my friend's daughter, though. They even sent each other their favorite bottles of wine so that they could taste test because one was a white wine lover, one was a red wine lover. And so they were trying to convince the other one that, their version was not so bad. So they went that as far as that route as well. But
that seems a little bit more practical. As if you're on camera and you're because eating, like we said, I mean that could be horrible. But having a glass of wine or whatever, no biggie.
You know, you get to know a lot about somebody as they're tucking their napkin into their chin, like Boss Hogg did on Dukes of Hazzard. Taking a look at this forecast right now, Finn. Winter weather advisory in effect later today for Sauk and Dane counties. This will be in effect from 1 o'clock this afternoon until 10 o'clock tonight. Wet, heavy snow possible. 2 to 4 inches of accumulation also possible. And the commute home, it could be a little dicey. We're talking some slushy roads and low visibility as well. So please take it easy out there later today. Even if you're going to go vote later today in the spring elections and the presidential primary happening throughout the state, make sure you're taking it easy. If you haven't already early voted. Columbia County will be under a winter storm warning later today. Now, as far as the rest of today goes, this rain, snow, mix stuff, it's going to linger on. 35 for a high, becoming windy tonight down to 32, and then windy with some snow and some blowing snow tomorrow, a high right around 39. It's 34 right now. Time for your community calendar brought to you by Community First Bank.
Here's a look at some of the upcoming area events brought to you by Community First Bank. It's time for the 4th annual Baraboo Mystery Weekend in downtown Baraboo. Once again, downtown will be turned into the scene of a mystery for amateur detectives to solve. It's a fun and unique mix of mystery theater, live action clue game, and scavenger hunt. Suspects and witnesses will be out and about just waiting to share their stories and answer questions. The grand finale of the weekend will come on Sunday at 3 p.m. at the historic Al Ringling Theater when the local police chief will unravel the mystery and arrest the culprit. Prizes for participants will be awarded by drawing, including the grand prize selected from those who are able to correctly identify the murderer. Again, this will be happening both Saturday and Sunday, 10 a.m. until 4 p.m. each day, and then that final reveal at 3 p.m. Again, BaraboomysteryWeekend.com for all the details. Also, time for Chili Madness at St. John's School Gymnasium in Portage. It's an opportunity to show off your favorite chili and watch the final four games. This will be from 6:30 until 8:30 at the St. John's School Gymnasium. It's a free will donation, but they suggest $5 per person. Again, Chili Madness takes place on Saturday, April 6, 6:30 until 8:30. Email youth@stjohnsportage.com for more details. And it's time once again for Maple Fest at the McKenzie Center in Poinette. This unique annual sweet event will offer all things maple syrup, including various drop-in activities, guided tours of their sugar bush, also demonstrations of how to tap a tree, and interpretive talks about the historical methods and cultural importance of maple sugaring in Wisconsin. Gift shop, concessions, and local Wisconsin maple syrup will be available, plus a quilt raffle at noon. This is a free event and open to the public. You do need a park sticker to attend. This is all happening at the McKenzie Center. It's Maple Fest for 2024 on Saturday from 9 a.m. until 2 p.m.
Cell Plus invites you to catch the sunrise on Max FM. 4 hours of positive, uplifting music every Sunday morning from 5 to 9. Brought to you exclusively by your local U.S. Cellular agent. Cell Plus in Baraboo, Reedsburg, and Wisconsin Dells.
Positive music on sunrise.
Put a frog in boiling water and it'll jump right out. But put a frog in cool water and slowly heat it up, that frog will boil. As veterans, we tell ourselves the lie that we can handle anything. We let the water boil. You are not a frog. If you or a veteran you know needs support, don't wait. Reach out. Find resources at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach. Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
It's 8:31 right now. Thank you so much for spending your Tuesday with us. We do appreciate it. Hopefully you're staying dry and maybe getting ready for some more snow coming our way. Definitely going to want to take it easy a little later today with that winter weather advisory in effect. Here's Whitesnake. Here I go again on 99.7 Max FM.
I'm not afraid to
Maximum hits of the 80s, 90s, and more, 99.7 Max FM. It is 8:34 right now. And, you know, Finn, I don't make it any secret that I'm a bit of a germaphobe. I don't really love germs. I don't really love it that I see people use bathrooms and then not wash their hands. And you know, you got carts in the shopping areas and all of that kind of stuff. And just let's not even talk about the copier machine and stuff in the office that we're all using. All of that good stuff. Well, it turns out that, you know, there's writers of certain publications that could turn us all into a germaphobe, just like myself. According to experts, here are the 9 germiest spots in your office. This means you're going to want to carry the bottle of hand sanitizer like around your neck on a little lanyard or something after you hear this. But door handles, obviously, number one, right? They're usually the germiest spot because everybody touches them. People in the office, people coming in and out of the office, you know, customers, guests, whatever it may be. So it's a good idea to get in the habit of using hand sanitizer when you're at your desk and maybe even when you get into your car. Your keyboard is another one of the germiest areas in your office. There are over 3,000 microscopic organisms living in every square inch of the average keyboard. We touch it and then we wipe our noses or rub our eyes.
Ew.
Or I know, it's awful. It's awful. We're all guilty of it. Your desk is another spot that's pretty germy in the office setting. It's covered with your own germs plus any that you might pick up on your hands and your arms. Now, don't assume a janitor or a cleaning crew is taking care of it. Wipe it down with a disinfectant spray every now and then. Maybe keep those disinfectant wipes in a drawer and maybe just kind of hit the surface of it every now and then. That will help out a little bit. Oh, this is another one. The shared microwave and fridge. I mean, the microwave and fridge in any office setting can be like its own science experiment as it is. But then you add on the fact that everybody's touching all of the handles. Everybody's touching all of the buttons, mm-hmm. right? And yeah, you're probably about to eat, so duh, wash your hands first kind of thing. The water cooler, if your office is lucky enough to have one of those, the spot that you touch has germs on it, obviously. Grossness can be lurking in the water, though, itself. A few studies have found that those water tanks aren't always cleaned regularly, which is maybe a good idea, what, you know, to have a company bringing in and out new fresh tanks all the time and actually get those things changed out every now and then. The bathroom, obviously, they're not cleaned as much as you might think they actually are. It's one reason you really shouldn't be using your phone in the bathroom at your office either, or any bathroom for that matter. Elevator buttons, if you have an elevator in your office, more touch points that get a whole lot of traffic. Think about using your knuckle instead of the tip of your finger. Oh, I'm totally a knuckle person when it comes to elevators. Oh, I never, I try to never use my fingertips on an elevator because that's disgusting. Or you could also buy one of those keychains that let you open doors and hit buttons without actually touching them. I don't know what these keychains are, but now I feel like I need one in all cases of life. This sounds amazing.
Well, you need a plastic bubble is what you need.
I do. I mean, I am much better now than I was when my kids are little. Let me just put that clarification out there. When my kids were little, I've said this, they were thumb suckers. They might as well have licked the floor. I mean, everywhere we went. And Dexter pretty much did. Dexter was my one that I was always running around. Don't put your mouth up. Oh my gosh, you just put your mouth on that kind of thing. He was my one who had to touch and then lick everything in sight, like a dog finding his surroundings or something. It was disgusting. Vending machines, another place in the office, even worse than the elevator buttons because they have more nooks and crannies that are really hard to clean. And then finally, your phone, your very own phone in an office setting. All the germs and bacteria that you pick up in the other 8 spots that we just listed eventually end up on your phone as well. So a little disinfecting, a little cleaning every now and then, never hurt anybody. Alcohol swabs are a girl's best friend, I'm telling you. They always said it was diamonds, and then I came along and I was like, no. We got to make sure that this is all clean before we get too excited about it. But yeah, those are all areas that totally make sense of why they would be so germy. Yuck.
I don't even really know if we should even label it as germaphobe anymore or if we should just call it smart, because
I know.
Obviously, we have relaxed quite a bit in the past year or two since the pandemic, but live and learn kind of thing?
You know, I don't know. I'm one of those people, like, I was carrying hand sanitizer with me before carrying hand sanitizer was cool. I mean, I always had hand sanitizer. I always had wipes. I was like my own disinfecting station all the time, no matter where we went. And again, it was simply because my kids sucked their thumbs and they were always coming down with something. Now, Dexter was my little bit of hardier one, but that's because he was licking railings in like New York subway stations. Literally, when we went to New York and he was little, I was like, please, he just did it, kind of thing, you know? So he was that kind of kid. So he was a little bit hardier about that stuff. But when he got sick, though, holy buckets. Holy buckets. And it's the same way. When the kid gets sick now, he very rarely gets sick. But when he is sick, he is down for the count. And it is usually something weird. It is usually something that is very viral that they don't have an answer for. And we end up in the doctor like three or four times because it spawns all these new things. I mean, every single time the kid gets sick, that's exactly what happens.
Don't you hate that when they can't tell you exactly what it is? I mean, give me something. Tell me it's bronchitis or pneumonia.
Right?
Or something like that.
I know.
But when you just don't know and it's this mystery illness.
Exactly. And that's what Dexter always got. And then he had a little bit of asthma on top of it. So anything that was cold related always set into his lungs immediately. So we were always trying to prevent him from having to use his inhalers and things like that, and his nebulizers. That's essentially what we were always trying to do as much as we absolutely could, because he was not good at using it either, even though he had the cutest little dinosaur mask that strapped onto his face that you ever did see. I mean, he didn't want to sit still long enough to do it. We had like one of those 30-foot cords on it because then he could still play. And then just like a dog with a leash, he'd get tangled around all the furniture. So then it'd just be me untangling things all day. But I literally had to try to prevent some of that. Max, he very rarely got sick, but he never majorly sick, but he always had something wrong with him. He always had a sniffle, or he always had an upset tummy, or you know, he always had a runny nose or something like that. But then, you know, once in a while, he'd get really, really sick. And then he had to have his tonsils and adenoids out when he was five as well, because the kid had strep throat like once a month. Not even joking. We had strep going through our house at least once a month for a couple of years until they decided to take his tonsils and adenoids out.
Yeah.
So it's kid stuff. And so I was like, if we can just prevent even a little bit of that, we're going to prevent a little bit of it.
I have friends that have kids that were that way, where they always seem to be perpetually ill or sick with something. Now, our son, he doesn't really get sick that much, but he sounds like an 80-year-old man sometimes. It's like, oh, my back, oh, my knees, oh, I think the arthritis is setting in. But correct me if I'm wrong, because, you know, we don't have little kids anymore to take out and take care of anymore. I think there are fewer booger zones out there. Like, I mean, in the old days... In the old days, like the Discovery Zones and the McDonald's Playlands and the places with the little plastic balls or whatever, those were they were like inviting you to enter into a sick zone.
They were awful. You know, and here was my other thing. Once they got it, especially when they were really little, I always came down with whatever they had. And then it was like I built this mommy immunity, because then over the course of time, anytime they would get sick, I just wouldn't get it, and they would be really, really sick, and I was the one taking care of them, and I still wouldn't get it. So it's like this immunity that I think you build up after a certain amount of time to all of the things that they're bringing into the house. But no, that's why I became a sanitization station. That's what Corey always called me, because he'd be like, go to your mom, she's got the sanitization station like on her bag or in your stroller or whatever.
Now, what you're talking about is the mama gene. Gene, because you can't get sick, right?
I know.
The
Who's
kids
gonna take
get
care
sick
of everything else.
Mothers just aren't allowed to get sick.
Who's going to take care of all of it when that happens? I was like, sanitizer, wipes, and we didn't prevent everything, obviously, but you know, you can't. But at the same time, I was like, if we can do anything to like calm this down just a little bit, we're gonna do our best. And I was also one of those parents when my kids were little that if we had homeschool co-ops or we had our MOPS group or whatever it might be that we were going to, if my kids kids actually weren't like didn't have a runny nose because of teeth issues or just because of allergies. We didn't go. We just didn't go, even if they weren't that sick, because I just didn't want to pass that along to somebody else, because you never know what other if the kid's going to have a different reaction than mine had. Say mine only has the head cold. That's fine. But that doesn't mean the other kid's not going to end up with bronchitis or something horrible afterwards, you know?
Exactly.
So I kept mine home. And sometimes that meant we missed out on some really fun activities and it sucked. So we try to have some fun at home, even though it wasn't with their friends. But I tried to, you know, I would cancel play dates. I'd be like, or I'd tell my friends, point out, you know what? They've got really snuffy, gross little noses right now. If you're cool with that and you don't mind that your kid might get a cold, then come on over. We'll share our germs together. But if you don't want your kid to get sick, then we better like postpone until next week.
As long as we're on the same page.
Right. You know, I at least was going to give them the option, especially if my kids weren't like sick, you know, but I at least wanted them to know there's a pretty good chance that yours are probably going to get this because their noses are running like crazy kind of thing, you know? So I at least gave them the option. Now, most of my friends were awesome. They were also stay-at-home moms. So they were like, all right, we'll just come over, whatever kind of thing, you know? Mm-hmm. So they were pretty awesome, but I at least gave them the option because I did know that a few of the kids they played with did have some underlying health things. They had been preemies or, you know, or very, very early births and things like that. So I wanted to at least give them the option to not catch whatever it was that my kids were passing around. Yeah. So
well, that's the polite thing to do. You don't send your kids to school when they're sick.
Well, it turns out some people do, as we've learned.
Well, exactly. Hello, lice.
Yeah. I feel for teachers, right? Only because I am such a germaphobe, and especially with like the grade school kids, I'm like, oh, look at them all glom on to that one teacher with their gooey little hands, and oh, look at they just wiped their nose with the back of. That's so neat.
And it's surprising how many adults that you see doing the same kind of thing.
Oh, I know. Where do you think the kids are learning it? Of course, I was also the mom at the same time. If I was at home and my kids had a runny nose, I don't know if Chris ever did this, because sometimes you just didn't have time to grab a Kleenex, because you'd look at your kid and you'd be like, oh gosh, it's coming. It's a stream coming right now. And like you literally use the back of your shirt. Like there were times that I had to do it. So I was a germaphobe, but there were times I was like, forget it, whatever. We've already passed this crud around 500 times. What's another time around?
Exactly. There's a point where you just don't care. Where it's like, okay, all right. If I get sick, I get sick. Whatever. Got to take care of the kids.
At least then we'll all be done with it together is always what my thinking was. My goodness. So keep the hand sanitizer, people, handy. Keep some disinfectant wipes in your drawer, because you might need them, especially at the office or even at home with the little gremlins. Coming up, we're going to take a detailed look at your forecast. We have a winter weather advisory that will be in effect later today for Sauk and Dane counties from 1 o'clock until 10 o'clock this evening. And then, of course, we're talking some wet, heavy snow, 2 to 4 inches possible. We'll tell you more about that as the morning goes on. Plus, we'll have a look at sports with Mike Ganger next here on Max FM.
For 40 years, Habitat for Humanity of Wisconsin River Area has been dedicated to serving our community by helping local people in need. And this year, we are asking you to join us in our mission. This is John. Call me at 370-4985 for more information on how you can be part of our 40 for 40 volunteer challenge. It's a great way to meet new people, be a part of something big, and you might just have some fun too. See hfhwisconsinriver.org to be part of our 40th anniversary celebration.
Kanamichi Craft Bar in Baraboo is the perfect place to meet family and friends for get-togethers and events. They have amazing charcuterie boards, wine from across the globe, craft beer and cocktails, retail wine, and gift cards. Kanamichi is at 126 3rd Street in downtown Baraboo. Be sure to check out their Facebook post for more upcoming live music, comedy, game nights, and events. Kanamichi Craft Bar in downtown Baraboo.
Whether you're a woman looking to start or expand your family, SSM Health St. Clair Hospital Baraboo is here for you from the start. Our women's health providers create an environment of focused care and are proud to provide a wide range of women's health services. To schedule an appointment with a provider or learn more about our family birth suites, visit ssmhealth.com/baraboobirth or call 608-355-3800.
Time for sports on Max FM. It's brought to you by Napa Auto Parts.
Get the good stuff. Get the good stuff from Napa Auto Parts in Baraboo and Portage. This is Napa John. Look for the Napa logo wherever you have your vehicle serviced. The Napa logo means quality auto parts and ASC certified mechanics to service your ride. Napa is a supplier of replacement parts and equipment for the automotive repair, heavy-duty truck, and industrial market. Napa parts are second to none. Use only quality Napa parts and accessories from Napa in Baraboo and Portage.
Get the good stuff!
With Max FM Sports, I'm Mike Anger. Postponements have begun for some of the events that were supposed to take place today. Many of the area boys golf teams are going to be participating in an invite at Lake Wisconsin Country Club. That's now been moved to Friday of this week. Baseball for the Thunderbirds is supposed to have their home opener today, but that has been postponed. Girls soccer for the Thunderbirds also. We're supposed to be welcoming DeForest to Beryl Newman Stadium, but that has been postponed at this point as well. Still on the schedule for now is softball at Mount Horeb. As for now, with the exception of that boys golf invite, the Reedsburg events are still scheduled. You got baseball welcoming Stoughton and softball heading to the Vikings place. 5 o'clock start time for both of those. Same for Sauk Prairie at this point, as the girls soccer team is scheduled to be at Toma. Eagle baseball will be at Portage at 5 o'clock, and softball is going to be at McFarland. Eagle lacrosse will be hosting Wanakee at 6 o'clock tonight as well. And then most of the events for Portage have been postponed at this time, with the exception of that Sauk Prairie baseball game. As always, this time of year with the weather, be sure to check the schedule before heading to any of those events. Better news is the rest of the week looks a lot nicer, so it should be much, much busier here to wrap up the week. The NCAA Women's Basketball Tournament continued last night, and the Final Four is set. Caitlin Clark and Iowa take down LSU 94-87, the final there. And then it was Paige Beckers leading UConn to an 80-73 win over number one USC. Final Four will start on Friday with unbeaten South Carolina taking on NC State. And then Iowa and UConn will play following that. The men's Final Four will be played out on Saturday. Bucks get back on the court tonight as they're in Washington to face just a 14-win Wizards squad. 6 o'clock is going to be the tip-off for that one. And the Brewers look to stay unbeaten as they'll be welcoming the 2-1 Minnesota Twins for the home opener at AmFam Field. Jacob Junis will get the start for the Brew Crew. Louis Varland will be countering for the Twins. First pitch again is at 3:10. With Max FM Sports, I'm Mike Anger.
Max FM, Gem City Weather.
We have some rain and snow on the way today into tonight. A slushy 2 to 3 inches of accumulation is possible by the time it all winds down into Wednesday. Some places could get a little more. Today, 35. Tonight, becoming windy. 32. Tomorrow, cloudy, windy with some snow and blowing snow. Our high, 39. If you are looking for a great place to live, stay, shop, and play, well, it's easy to get to Worthington, Minnesota. You should check out Worthington. It's worth a look. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 34.
99.7 Max FM.
It's 8:52 right now. Remember, winter weather advisory, as Sean's talking about the rain and the snow mix, going to be in effect later today for Sauk and Dane counties from 1 o'clock this afternoon until 10 o'clock tonight. Wet, heavy snow, 2 to 4 inches, creating some slushy roads and some low visibility, especially about the time you're trying to make your way home from work, or maybe even if you're going to vote later today as well. Spring election and presidential primary today in Wisconsin. Maximum hits of the 80s, 90s, and more. 99.7 Max FM. It is 8:56 right now. And Finn, we have a little celebrating that we must do on a Tuesday morning. Of course, we're talking about our calendar days and, you know, some of those things that will help us remember that, you know, it's Tuesday, we're moving on with our week, and it's not actually going to snow later on. Depending on how good of a wishful celebration thinking. You're actually yeah. having, right? So today, this is a big one because it also kind of entails the entire month, but World Autism Awareness Day is today. And of course, it's also Autism Awareness Month throughout the entire month of April as well. It's also International Children's Book Day today. Oh, I love children's books. They're one of my favorites. My goal at one point in time when I was much, much younger was to own like a bookstore dedicated to kids' books. And my kids,
that'd be cool.
Oh my gosh, my kids had one of the biggest collections. I started collecting children's books long before I even ever thought I'd have kids because I just loved them. I loved the illustrations. I loved the messages. And so I was a big collector of children's books and I just love them. And even now when people I know have babies, I don't usually go out and buy clothes or diapers because they get a ton of that kind of stuff, right? When you have your showers and stuff like that, I usually go out and buy like a basket of really cool, like my favorite go-to children's books.
That's awesome. Yeah. I mean, I read to my boys a lot when they were younger yep. and it was always kind of the bedtime ritual yep. was they would get. And so kind of our go-tos were things like Shel Silverstein.
Mm-hmm.
The Giving Tree was yep. a big one. Where the Wild Things Are, of course, yep. was a big one. How about you? What were your go-tos?
Oh, gosh. Guess How Much I Love You. Are You My Mother by Dr. Seuss was a big one. Mm-hmm. Dexter just mm-hmm. loved that book. We also loved Everybody Poops. That was a great book. My boys, obviously, yeah. two boys, they thought that was great. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. We read a lot of Harold and the Purple Crayon. We read a lot of Clifford books as well. Those were all uh-huh. staples in my kids' library, too. So we had a whole bunch of stuff that were our go-tos. Yeah. Like the Pigeon books, you know, like Pigeon Needs a Crayon or Pigeon mm-hmm. Drives a Bus or even the like Mouse a Cookie kind of franchise.
Yeah. Yeah,
yeah, those were all uh-huh. good as well. Because you had Moose, you know, if you give a moose a muffin, if you give a mouse a cookie, all yep. of that. So they loved all of those, too. So those were, I mean, we read all the time. We had 1 hour out of the day besides bedtime where we just, because sometimes I just needed a break with Dexter. Dexter was obviously my little powerhouse. He was my one that was had a motor that just
Energizer
went from,
Bunny kind of
yep,
thing.
Yep. Yeah. He literally went from about 5 a.m. until he collapsed at about 10:30 at night. And so sometimes mama just needed a little sit me down as well. And so when he was really, really little, we had what we called a rest hour. And so each of them got to pick two books and then we'd curl up on the couch under a great big blanket together and we would read and then we would play rock, paper, scissors to see whose book went first. And then if Dexter's went first, then Max went second. We just kind of rotated back and forth. But it was always a fun game of rock, paper, scissors. And it also taught him to be good sports when they don't win, which both of my boys needed lessons mm-hmm. in. So we did that. But your book always got read. And even if we went over an hour, didn't matter. Even if it was a long one that day, we were going to read your book from cover to cover. So that was, or your two books, I should say, from cover to cover. And it was just a nice little energizing period for all of us. You know, at that point where after I'd watched him run around like a bumblebee for about the 900th time, I was mm-hmm. like, okay.